Okay, today's daf is Erevin, daf Samach Beis. Erevin Samach Beis. Just scheduling note, tomorrow there will not be a daf. My son's putting on tefillin, Beit Hashem, so we're going to be in Mara Samach Pela. Beit Hashem, we will pick up again on Sunday. Pick up again on Sunday, but the next two daf, Beit Hashem, will be uploaded from the last cycle again. Okay, but today we have the schus of starting the next section of Maseches Erevin. Totally new topic. We've touched on it in the past, but now we have it at length. The past couple, three prakim we've discussed is Eruv Tchumen, and now we are discussing Eruve Chatzeros. For the next three prakim, Eruve Chatzeros are going to be our topic. So, even just as background, if you remember, the Gemara on Daf Chaf Aleph Amid Beis had the source. Shlomo HaMelech was the one that came up with Eruve Chatzeros. On a Daraisa level, right, this is not needed. We mentioned there are many mesechtas, among them Erevin, that kimat the entire mesechta is about dinim derabanan. We think that Erevin, Shabbos, it's wonderful, it's amazing, but most of it is derabanan. Erev Tchumen, according to most Rishonim, we said the last three prakim derabanan, the next three prakim derabanan, next four prakim derabanan. So if the real meseches, Megillah, meseches, Brachas, many mesechtas are focused on dinim derabanan. Here's the next one. Eruvin, Eruv Chatzeros, says Shmuel on Chaf Aleph Mabez, B'sho'a she'tikein Shlomo Eruvin v'netilos yadayim. When Shlomo was mezaken Eruvin v'netilos yadayim, Abasko went out and said a pasuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very happy that Shlomo HaMelech made these takanis. Rashi there on Daf Chaf Aleph says, V'gazar shelo lahotzi me'rishus hayachid l'rishus hayachid chaveiro. He made a takana, going from one rishus hayachid to another rishus hayachid. You're not allowed to carry out la. So siyag v'harchaka la'isr Torah shelo yavo lahatir merushas arab and merushas ayachid v'haynu tachsiv v'izin v'chikir tikim shalom v'chulu. That's the Gemara on Chaf Aleph Mabei. So this is why Erev Chaseris is needed whenever there are two rishus ayachids next to each other, but one of them is a different rishus. It's not like there's a backyard to a private backyard to a private house. There you don't need any rishus Erev Chaseros. It's all owned by the same person. So it's physically different, but it's owned by the same person. But if you have a joint yard that is owned by two different people, or if you have any type of joint area, if you have a stairwell in a building, if you have the yard, any type of joint area, that is where Chazal were worried that we would be confused. If I'm able to take out from my house to this joint area, so maybe to the ultimately joint area, which is the street, Rishus HaRabim. So Chazal said, in order to make it mutter, we have to make you into one big happy family, which means everybody has to put some bread into one of the houses. Maybe the one whose house it's in doesn't have to put, that we had already. That's a discussion. But either way, they become one big happy family. I bisman hazeh. That's what we use bisman hazeh. Eruv chatzeros. We put strings around to make it into an enclosed area. And then we have an eruv chatzeros. Why did the rabbi ever ask me for some bread, for a pita? Because they were mezakeh it on behalf of everyone in the community. It's as if they did it. There's a schus. By Eruv Tchumen, the Gemara said earlier, there's a downside. If I want to go a certain amount and extend my Tchum in one direction, I lose it in the other direction. So who says I want to do that? So that's why you can't make an Erev Tchum without asking me, because that's a chova. Erev Chatzeros, what's the downside? I'm allowed to carry. There's nothing negative. So Zachan La'adam Shalom B'fanav, whenever you go to a community, or whenever you live in a community, even if you have no idea where the Erev is, what the Erev is, right, which shul the Erev is kept in, as it is kept in most places, according to the Minhag of the Ramah from 500 years ago, it still doesn't matter. Zachan La'adam Shalom B'fanav, and it is kept there. Good. But now the Mishnah is going to talk about, if everybody gets involved and takes part in the Erev, that's wonderful. But there are two cases which aren't so clear. Number one, what if there's a Jew that is not interested in taking part in this Erev? What if there's a Jew that you weren't mezakeh for him on his behalf, and it's Shabbos already? Is there anything to do? Is it too late? Or what if there's a non-Jew? What could a non-Jew do? As we'll see, a non-Jew doesn't know what an Erev is. And even if he does, they're not in the world of Erev. So how can he take part in the Erev? He can't. He's not Jewish. He's mufka. So what could we do to allow the carrying within this area, within this Rishus HaYachid, so that it could be mutter for everybody? What is the status of a of the non-Jew. Just one final point by way of introduction to this perek, and that is the bracha. We know that the Rambam says, and we've quoted this in the past, but it's important to review, the Rambam says in Hilchas Eiruvin, in Perek Vav, interesting, just as Derech Agav, I'm not exactly sure why, the Rambam has the first couple of prakam of Hilchas Eiruvin, Eiruve Chatzeros. And then he moves over to Eruve Tchume, right? The opposite direction than the Masechta. In our Masechta, as we said, we have mostly Eruv Tchume first, and then Eruve Chatzeros. The Rambam has the opposite. But either way, at the end of Perek Vav, in Hilchas Eruvin, the Rambam talks about a bracha on Eruv. Kishem shemevarchen al Eruve Chatzeros, v'shitufei mavos, kach mevarchen al Eruve Tchume. The Rambam says you make a bracha on both. Both are the same bracha, al mitzvahs Eruv. Eruv Chatzeros and Eruv Tchumen. But it's clear what we're about to start talking about. Eruv Chatzeros gets a bracha. The Ravid is fine with that. He just doesn't like Eruv Tchumen. He says, Hey Chantzivanu, Ma'ari B'tchumen. Find Eruv Chatzeros. There's a hecker and it's a takan of Shlomo HaMelech. So fine, I understand that. But a bracha on Eruv Tchumen, I'm not sure.
When
did they make the bracha? Before they, when they get the bread ready and they're about to put it down and designate it that this is going to be where the Eruv is going to be. Right, wherever it is, once a year, when they ever set the new Eruv. That's what we'll get to, hopefully today, in terms of how often one has to set the Eruv. But either way, that is the bracha. There is an important shuva of the Chasam Sofer. It's the same shuva that we quoted way back, I think, on Daf Beis. I think 60 blot ago. 59 blot ago, to be exact. The Chasam Sofer there in Simen Tzadi Tes. That's the tshuva where he discusses the importance of making an Eruv and the responsibility of every Rav and every Moreh Pora'ah to make an Eruv in their community. Because this is what people are used to and this is what they need. Davar ze'ino tzarech lefnim v'laraya v'hu min ha-seichel u'min ha-mavur lehedya v'devei chazal ha-seichel m'chayiv v'asher yadua sheshmiris yom Shabbos kodesh me'asos kol chefetz hu etzleinu mi-mitzvahs ha-rashios. Keeping Shabbos is one of the major defining mitzvos in our life. If not the defining mitzvah. Right? How is the defining mitzvah? When you want to know if somebody is a nam, when you say, oh, they shomer Shabbos, that's the, right? If you want to know if somebody is somebody, you know, they say, oh, this is kosher. How do you know if somebody has namanus? Eidach anem and bisurin. So the litmus test is shomer Shabbos. That's what we ask. If somebody's a mashkiach somewhere, obviously if they're not shomer Shabbos, forget about it. Right? We don't say, are they shomer other mitzvos? That comes afterwards. Shomer Shabbos is defining, says the Chasam Sofer. Umi she'enu mashamar kel chaso, how are you kekofer umumar l'chala tarakula? V'isr hotzah es mefurash v'chulu. V'im kein kol bar das yishpot. B'sichlo, she'i efshar b'shum ofan l'kahal Yisrael, l'shmaras kol b'nei beisam, k'tanim ke'elu, v'gamno nishoseihem, l'shamram b'chol yom ha-shabbos, mi'bli lahoti, mi'pasach beiso, achutza. Wait, it's impossible to keep all the men, the women and the children in the house the whole day? It's not fair to them, if there is a halachic option. And here there is. Right, with the first two prakim of this Masechta. And now, we're getting back to a Ruvei Chatzeros, which is what we do. He says it's not fair, and the Seichel is B'chayah, that this is what you have to do. And then, towards the end, he talks about our issue. He talks about the bracha. He says, what type of bracha is this when you set in Eruv? He says, mitzvah lachzer achar Ruvei Chatzeros. Mivarech al mitzvah Eruv. V'hine, ein kavanas ha-bracha, asher kiddushanu, v'amar lanu, hotza v'tilta b'shabbos, chada. That's not what the kavanah is like. It's a bircha shevach v'hoda. Thank you for asering Eruv, and thank you for allowing, like v'tzir, asanos arusos, v'asihidonos anosuos, which is a unique feature of Yahadus, Arayos, the whole world of Arayos. Says the Chasam Sofer, that's not what's going on here. We're not thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for creating the concept of Tchumen. But it's a mitzvah because it allows us to enjoy ourselves and be part of a community on Shabbos. That's the mitzvah. He says, Al karchach lomar, dahai bracha al mitzvahs Eruv, hu al mitzvahs atikon agadol halaz, lish lihishamar v'yisra otzah, asher mamish e'efshar lihizoher imenu. It's impossible to be zoher from. Okay, that's an important Chasam Sofer as we start these next couple of prakim, which talk about Eruvei Chatzeros. Okay, so now let us get into it. Says the Mishnah. Interesting, the Mishnah doesn't start off with a regular din. What an Eruv Chatzeros is. That starts off with an unusual case. Right, usual Eruv Chatzeros is you have a bunch of Jews together, so set an Eruv. No, We start off with an unusual case. Hadar im ha'akum b'chatzer. What if there's a non-Jew there? This is called Perek Hadar. That's what this Mr. Perek is about. Perek Hadar. Hadar im ha'akum b'chatzer. If somebody lives with a non-Jew, there's a non-Jew in the yard. O misha eino moda be'eriv. Or with somebody who is not moda be'eriv. Rashi says, akusi. That's what the Gemara said earlier, daflamad aleph. Right? So if somebody's not moda be'eriv, akusi, one of those non-Jews who converted out of fear, geirei arayosim, the machlokas tanoim in different places, whether they are considered full Jews or not. So, misha'ina moda be'eriv, hareza osur alav. So that dira asers, the Tanakama holds that you have to do something for diras akum. Right, they're there. You can't just disregard them and discount them and say, oh, it's as if they don't exist in halacha. You can't do that, says the Tanakama. Right, if there's a non-Jew or somebody who rejects the concept of Erev, you have to deal with them somehow. And as we said, you can't deal with them with including them in the Erev because they're not Jewish. So they're not Moda. So as we'll see, the only way to deal with them is to rent out their rights. Because that, the non-Jew understands. Right, renting money. So that they understand, and that was going to be the only option for what we have to do to get a non-Jew involved in the Erev. So if somebody is a Dorma Akum, or in a Moder, is it Oser Olaf? Rebbe Lezer Ben Yaakov Omer, La'olam Eino Oser, Ashu Shnei Yisraelim Ostrin Zelze. We'll have to see what the reason is in the Gemara. Lezer Ben Yaakov says, no, you need minimum of two Jews. If you have one Jew and one non-Jew that share a yard, nothing is needed. You don't need an Erev Chatzeris. Only two Jews. Two Jews and a guy. Two Jews and a non-Jew, that's needed. Okay. Amar Rabbi Gamliel. Maisa b'tztuki echad. There was a story with a tztuki. We didn't have a tztuki yet in the Mishnah. The Gemara will talk about it. Now a new factor. There was a tztuki. Who's a tztuki? Tztuki is somebody who pashtus usually means. Only believes in Torah Shebichsav and does not believe in Torah Shebalpeh. Nothing really makes sense if that's true because how do they know anything without Torah Shebalpeh? How do you know what tefillin look like? How do you know what to do on Shabbos? It's impossible. But that's what they say, right? If so, oh, in Yonah Diyoma, right? We're getting there. A couple of days, we machras haShabbos, right? The most famous comments of the Stukim. So it was a story with the Stuki, who obviously do not believe in Eruv because it's Torah Shabbat Peh, Shoyedar Imanu Bamavli Yerushalayim. And he lived with us in Yerushalayim. V'amar lanu Abba, and my father said, Rabbi Gamliel said, my father said to us, Maha, two versions. The Tanakama's version is, Maharu v'hotziu es ha-kelim l'mavui. Quickly, take out your kelim to the mavui, ad shelo yotzi v'yeser aleichem. Once Shabbos started, my father told us, quickly, take your stuff out to the mavui, because we don't want him to retract. What do you mean, retract? This is referring to a third option. There are three options how we connect everyone in the Erev. Number one, we can include everybody in the Erev. Wonderful. All Jews, all believing Jews. You set bread for them. Wonderful. Number two, what do you do with a non-Jew? You rent out what's called schiris makom. That's what we do with the political figures today. But then there's a third option. Third option is bittul rishus. What does that mean? I'm mevatel my rishus. I nullify my rishus. You know, I retract, like we spoke about yesterday, siluk. I remove, I relinquish. That's a good word. I relinquish my rights in this yard. And therefore, it's as if I'm not here. That's bittul rishus. That could even be done on Shabbos, as we'll see. Says the Gemara here, that's what...
The Jews
no, the one who is a Jew can be mevatel rishus, right? If he wasn't included in the Erev. Or, even here, we're talking about Tztuki. Tztuki is a Jew. So we're talking about here, pashtus, is that he was mevatel his rishus, and his father, Gamliel's father, told them, you know what? We don't want him to retract. Therefore, quickly take your stuff out to the Mavli so that you will create facts on the ground in the Mavli so you won't be able to be Choserbo. That's the simple understanding of the first day. Right? Quickly take items out before he takes it out. Right? That is the story. You look at Rashi on the first wide line. On the bottom, Maisa Bitsuki Shayadariman of Mavli, Ubitel Lanu Rishuso. He was mevatel his rishus to us. And our father said, quickly, be machzik so, because once Shabbos starts, we don't want it to be choser bo. That is one version. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, b'lashon acher. Rabbi Yehuda says there was a different version of what the father said. Maharu va'asut sarcheichem b'mavui. No, not on Shabbos. quickly take your stuff out to create uvdot b'shetach, to create facts on the ground, but rather quickly do whatever you need to do before Shabbos. Ad shelo yotzi v'yaser aleichem, before he comes out and, you know, ruins it for us. Ad shelo yotzi, right, before he comes out. What does that mean? Maruva asu tzarchichem b'mavui, Rashi says, mi b'od yom. It was instructions for Friday, not for Shabbos. The b'Shabbos lo mahani luchu hay bittul shemiyotzi v'yeser aleichem. If he comes out, it doesn't matter if we were there first. He can retract. Shema mina. And what does Rabbi Yehuda hold? Avagav dechziku b'nei mavi b'mavui. Right? He can retract. Therefore, it's not going to help. You better do everything you need to do before Shabbos. Rabbi Kiva Eger Mishnayis discusses, why can't you just wait? What, it's going to go l'mafreya? No, Freya, like, you have to do everything you can do before Shabbos. What do you mean? You do everything, use it on Shabbos, and when he retracts, you finished. Rabbi Kiva Eger says, it sounds like from here, that l'mafreya, once he comes out on Shabbos, it will not have been a bittul, and therefore, you couldn't have done anything on Shabbos, right? Because the emphasis here, make sure you do everything before Shabbos, and he just wonders why that should be. Why should l'mafreya retroactively be able to be ruined? It sounds like, some Achronim explain, the fact that he can retract means it's not a real bittul. The fact that it's in his power. And that's why it's not going l'mafreya, but the retraction is just a reflection that he really has not left, right? His jurisdiction has not left here, and therefore, you know, it's no good even right away. Okay, that's the Mishnah. One ha'ara, an important makar about stukim. The Rambam in Pirkei Avos, the Rambam in the third Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Where did the Sukkim come up? The third Mishnah. Third Mishnah, as we know, Antigonish is Socho. He said the controversial, or not controversial, the easily misinterpreted statement of Al Tiyuch Ka'avadim, Hamasham Shenes Arav, Amanah Shalol Kabal Pras, Amanah Shalol Kabal Pras, Ela Havi Ka'avadim, Shalol, Amanah Shalol Kabal Pras. Right, so there's different versions of what the Mishnah should say. Should it say Shalol Amanah Shalol Kabal Pras, or Amanah Shalol Kabal Pras? The second version sounds like you're not going to get reward. Amanah shelo lekabel pras. And that's why some versions of the Mishnah say, no, don't do it, amanah lekabel pras. But of course you're going to get a pras. But Antigonish's students misunderstood what he meant. And this was the beginning of the tragedy. He had students, Saduku Baitus, right? The Rambam talks about it here. And they heard this. They started to get turned off after they heard. They misunderstood their Rebbe, and they said they're going to throw it all away. The problem is they said they wanted to throw everything away. Fascinatingly, the Rambam says they wanted to reject everything. But they knew if they would also reject Torah Shebichsav, then nobody would listen to them. What, even Torah Shebichsav? So nobody would listen. So they said, you know what, let's at least throw away half and put on a show that, oh no, we're really traditional, we believe in the Torah, Bechulu, and slowly, slowly, you know, we'll wean them away even from the Torah Shebichsav. That's what happened, says the Rambam. V'kivan she'efsha lahem l'rakezes ha'amunim saviv ha'emunah shehuska lahem. They wouldn't be able to convince everybody to follow them. L'fisha ha'emunah hara'a hazu mafrida bein ha'me'uchadim. The Hech Teachedes HaMefuradim. It doesn't make sense. There's no unit of understanding. Okay, they can't reject Torah Shebichsav, Har Sinai, that was passed down. They can't reject that. And if they would have been mayas against that, they would have been killed. V'dima kolechan mehem b'inyanei siyato, shumamin b'Torah Shebichsav. They faked it, as if they believed in Torah Shebichsav. It ended up that their followers believed in Torah Shebichsav, and that's what they kept. But that's the Rambam. That's the Rambam. That was the origins of Tzaduk and Baitus, the Talmidim of Antigonus, who were misled because they said, oh, there's no reward, there's no Schar Va'onish, okay, we'll throw it all away. And that's how they misunderstood their Rebbe. But that's Tzaduk right here. If you look at the Chashuk Echemed, we'll have one or two points of his today, he wonders all the halachas that we're about to see about a non-Jew living in the Chatzar with you, what happens if you have a... Actually, we should wait a little bit in the Gemara, but I'll mention it now. The Gemara is going to talk about part of the reasons why there are takanas to have to do something with a non-Jew to be socher malchum is because we don't want a Jew living with a non-Jew in the same chatzar. So if we make him pay every week, so then maybe that will help the Jew move away. So it says the... Yeah, it's on the Mishnah here, but says the Chashuke Chemet. You know, I'll wait with that one. I'll do this one. Sheil Adar Ma'akum Yesh Ladun. What about a goy shemol v'lo taval? What if there's a non-Jew who's in the process of getting converted? And he had Mila before Shabbos, he didn't get to go to the mikvah yet. And you can't go to the mikvah on Shabbos. But that's tikkun. You can't be tovel kalim. You can't become Jewish on Shabbos. That's the shayla. So he says, l'chora, gam goy kaze osur alav. He says, l'chora, I would think this guy asers. Why? Because if a ger shemavol tava, what does Gemara Yavama say? Kiilu l'mal. Meaning you're nothing. He's not Jewish yet. But then he says, maybe he's worse than a guy. Because we're going to see in the Gemara, part of the reasons is that, oh, you shouldn't learn from his behavior. He is going to be even much closer to you. Because he's semi-Jewish. And you might think that he's Jewish. So, he says, I'm not sure what one should do. Does that person have to keep Shabbos? Is he allowed to keep Shabbos? Ger Shemavol Otavos, that's a tshuv of the Binyan Tzion. Rav Yaakov Ettlinger, the Aruch Laner, says, he thinks that type of person has to keep Shabbos. And even though he's not chayav in mitzvahs, he has to keep Shabbos. Why? Because Jews before Har Sinai also didn't go to the mikvah. And they were only Jews from Mila, and they had Shabbos in Mara. So, Movelo Tavo, I think that's good enough for keeping Shabbos. It might not be good enough to be a Jew, Lagabe, Hadar Manachmi Bachatzer, but he thinks he has to keep Shabbos because of that. Okay, we'll get to the other question in a couple of minutes. Let's continue. Yosef Abaye Bar Avin, Rav Chinina Bar Avin, two brothers were sitting. The Yosef Abaye Gabayu, and Abaye was sitting next to them. The Yasviva Kaamri, and they were saying, Bishlamo Rabbi Meir, I understand Rabbi Meir's opinion. Remeir stumma de masnisan, right? He's not quoted in our Mishnah, but we assume he's the anonymous first opinion. So I understand Rabbi Meir's opinion, who says that even with one non-Jew in the chatzer, you have to do something. I understand that. Why? Bishlar Remeir kasavar diras ovid kochavim shmadira. I understand that the residence of a non-Jew is considered a residence, and therefore you got to deal with it. Veloshna chad veloshna trei. Doesn't matter, one non-Jew, doesn't matter, one Jew, two Jews living with him, you have to deal with that. Elo, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Maika Savar, but what's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov's opinion? Ika Savar, Dira, Zobek, Ochavim, Shma, Dira, if it is Dira, Afilu, Chanami, Nitzar, even one should be a problem, one Jew living with him. Ve'ilo, Shma, Dira, and if it's not, Afilu, Treinami, Lo, Nitzar, even two shouldn't be a problem. So I don't understand what this middle opinion of, oh, one Jew's living there, it's a problem, two Jews living there, it is two Jews living there is not a problem, it is a problem, and one Jew living there, it is a problem. But even before we continue, Tosfos deals with, in Tosfos Dira Maschol Va'akum, if you hold, according to Rabbi Meir, that Dira's Akum is Shma Dira, and therefore you have to do something, why can't you make an Eruv with them? You're doing something that halachically affects you. So you're right, they're mufka from Erev, but why can't you include them in the Erev? Why can't you do bits over shus with them? So Tosfos said, we said this implicitly before, Erev and bitzel are more directly within the halachas of Erev. So you can't have that, that's not shayach to a guy. The only thing a non-Jew has with us, has in common with us, are transactions. We could do a transaction with a non-Jew. So this is a transaction. That's why the only thing to do is schiris makom, to rent out the place, to pay him for his rights. That's why. But the other two, they're mufka, and therefore you can't apply them there. That's a very important tosis. It's a davar pashut, but it's very important. So the Gemara says, what's the svar of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? So amalu abaya. One second. Abaya says, I'll ask you another question before I give you an answer. V'savar Rabbi Meir, diras akum shmadira. What, according to Rabbi Meir, diras akum is a shmadira, v'atanya. But I learned it in Tosefta. Chatseiro shal ovid kochavim. How are you kadir shal behema? A yard of a non-Jew, it has the same status as a stable of animals. We'll see what that means. It will mean, as the Gemara will say on Amud Beis, that if they're not there, then we don't have to worry about it. Right? Dira blo bailim lo shma dira. So there's some parallels to Dira's Akam to Dira's Behema. So, and this is Rabbi Meir talking, as we'll see. So what do you mean? It's automatic? It's so pashut that we're made diras akam shma dira? So Ella says Abaya. No, this is the pshat. Tekulei alma diras akam lo shma dira. Really, even Rabbi Meir agrees that diras akam halachically on a daraisa level should just be ignored. The rights of a non-Jew in a yard are not halachically significant for us in order for us to have an erev. The issue here is gzeira drabanan. We don't want Jews and non-Jews living in the same yard. So therefore, we want to do something. We want to make you have to pay for it. So if you pay for it, we figure if you pay for it every week, Rashi says, Hitrichu behifsiduhu, chachamim, ladari moke, they should yiksha beinav, litain schar, bichol Shabbos v'Shabbos. That's an underline Rashi. Right? You're going to have to pay every week. Pay every week, the Jew's going to move away. It's enough. He doesn't need this expense. So, Reb Elazar ben Yaakov saw, Reb Elazar ben Yaakov says, Kiven dovi kochavim chashir ashvichas damim, since an idolater, in the days of the Talmud, you weren't allowed to get a haircut from an idolater because you were worried that they would try to kill you. So, because they are chashud, so then trade the shrichi d'dairi gazerbu. One Jew wouldn't live together. He'd be worried. Two Jews would live together with an unjan Jew. So because it's not common for one Jew to live alone with a non-Jew in the yard, therefore Chazal weren't gozer the need. Right? Because Chazal weren't gozer by a milsa de lo shchicha. For a mayor sover, no. Zimnin de mikri v'dayir. Sometimes it happens that it's even one and one, and therefore even if it's only one Jew living with a non-Jew, he would require to take some action. V'yamu Rabbanan, and finishing up this answer, Ein Erev Moav v'makamakum, V'ein Bittul Rishus Moav v'makamakum. As Tosfos explained, Erev is not going to work, Bittul is not going to work, Ad Sheyaskir, until you rent it out. V'akum Momoger, and the Akum isn't always going to be willing to rent it out to you, period. And the Jew won't be willing to pay for it every week either. We'll have to see why the non-Jew won't be willing, but this is the root of the issue. Okay, a couple of points. If you look in the Lashon of the Rambam, when you pay the non-Jew, so the Rambam's Lashon is, ki'ilu hu oreach. He is like an oreach to you. That's the language of the Rambam. V'yase agoy, v'ilo takana, elo shi'iskru m'yana reshuso, v'yase agoy, ki'ilu hu oreach imahen. As if he's a guest, and therefore a guest does not aser. Biurei Hadaf, here he quotes that, actually we'll wait to do this in a minute, in the next line of the Gemara. A couple of other points. Says the Rashi that I emphasize. Rashi says, we make him do it every week, so it's going to be a problem. Do you have to be socher makom every week? Like every week you got to call up the mayor of the city? You know what? I want to make that transaction again. Rashi sounds like every week. If you look in the Rush here, the Rush says is lav dafka. Lav dafka. Unless you do it for a specified time, I want to rent out this reshus for a month, so then it memela runs out. But the Rush says beferish. You don't have to do it every week. Nira li. Lav mishum deboy liskar b'kol erev Shabbos. Heicha dein hanachri chozer bo benaschirus. Elek shanachri chozer bo asarach lachsar. And the Gosa Shri quotes the Arzarut. Others say every week. Machokas bishonim. Whether it has to be renewed every week. We are, as you might have guessed, Mako. We are, right, we don't see every week the rabbi having to call up the political figures. The Shulchan Aruch says, Kol zman she'ein eino Yehudi chozer bo, moel aschirus, v'yafilu lizman meruba. Filu lizman meruba. Right, the problem with that shita, why does Rashi say what he says? The problem with that shita is that this is supposed to be a deterrent. This is supposed to be a knas, that, oh, this is going to make you not live there. If you only have to do it once a year, it's not such a big deterrent. You take care of it and you don't think about it anymore. So that's why the Rishonim, Rashi and Arzarua, say this got to be every week, but that's not how we paskin. We paskin that it is likula. Good. This is now, we have a couple of points. Getting back to the Chashuke Chemed that I mentioned before, says, and then we'll get back to a somewhat Kabbalistic idea. Says the Chashuke Chemed, two questions. Number one, are you allowed to, L'chachila, to live in a chatzer with a non-Jew in the Ir Hatikah of Yerushalayim. Shema Yilmo Mimaisav. But is that balanced out by Kedushas Yerushalayim? That's the short answer. Mitzad Echad Yish Kedusha B'tochomos Yerushalayim. Ach Ve'idas Gisa Shema Yilmo Mimaisav. And the Kaf HaChaim says, Lefize Nireh Dekol Shekein She'asur Ladurim Yisrael She'osa Averis B'farhesya. It's even more common to learn averus from a Jew. The mishum deikal amecha sheyom amimaisa v'alkarin nirash yishli himana miladur b'shchenas im yisrael over averus. But then the Rav Zilberstein says, I'm not sure about Yerushalayim because maybe the kedusha is goveres al hachshas shelo logar liyado v'akolafiyo inyan v'tzarachiyin. In Yonadioma, yes, in Yonadioma, right? In Australia, it's still Yom Yerushalayim, right? Okay, that's one question. Then the following question is fascinating. This is a true posek. Back and forth intellectual honesty. Every paragraph, the pendulum swings. His question is, Sheila, Shema Yubami Maisav. If you're doing construction in your house, and in front of you are two non-Jewish kablanim, that you're going to hire one of them, but one of them is married to a Jew, is there any adifus, which non-Jewish kablan, for you to hire? Shema Yilmod Mimaisav. Is there any issue that this guy intermarried? But on the other hand, he's a guy. And he doesn't have a chiyuv. He's just an alifnei iver. So, is there any, to be madif, is it better to hire the one who married a guy? Tshuva. He says, let me give you an example. If two people came in front of you, two contractors, and one of them was a mass murderer, would you hire him? He's just a balaver. What does he have to do with my house? So the answer is, it's a davar pasha that you wouldn't hire him. So he says, on the one hand, gadol hamachtio yosem mehargo. So a non-Jew who's a murderer you wouldn't hire, call she get a non-Jew who's a machti, right, to this woman. So on the one hand, maybe you should hire the one who's married to the guy, or maybe not. This guy is chafes babas Yaakov, right? He's doing it out shkagi. He wants to become closer to the Jewish religion. He's omer mutter, so maybe he's better than the one who's just totally non-Jewish. But then he says maybe ish lahadif as a nasi lenachriya. Why? Because lemaisa, it doesn't matter if he did it on purpose or by accident. You know, he's a balaveri, he's a machti. But then on the other hand, maybe you should think about, are there children? The children are Jewish. Maybe if you hire him, ultimately the children are going to be affected. This is unbelievable. You know, the posik thinking. Maybe you should hire him. Maybe the money that you pay him will ultimately go to those children and support them in their quest for becoming closer to Judaism. But maybe the money's going to stay in his pocket. And these are the factors. Again, lemaisa sarachian. It's good. We don't have to paskin here. But, you know, the question, Shema Yomo Mimaisav, is something that comes up. Let's do a little more, and then we'll make a comment. Can't leave without saying, talking about a Kabbalistic idea about Diras Akam. Let's continue, though, first. So, my time, says the Gemara. Why wouldn't a non-Jew rent out the Rishus to the Jew? What's the issue? Ilema Mishim Desavar, Dilmas Asilach Zuke Birshuso. Is it because the non-Jew would be worried that this Jew is taken over? He's being machzik and the Rishus. I'm never getting it back. He's taken over. Is that the worry that we think that why the non-Jew wouldn't do it? So, Hani Cholamanda Amar. Schiras Beria Be'inan. This works according to the opinion that says you need a Schiras Beria. What does that mean? A strong, formal Schiras which allows you to do whatever you want in the Chatzar. So there's a chash that he might be worried about that. Elalamanda Amar Schiras Ru'ua Be'inan Ma'ika Lameimar. But if you hold that you just need a token symbolic Schiras, so then why you wouldn't be worried? Deitmar, where's that machlokas? Right here. Rav Chisda Amar Schiras Beria. Rav Sheshes Amar Schiras Ru'ua. My Ru'ua, my Beria. What does that mean? Ilema Beria Bipruta Ru'ua Pachos Bishava Pruta. If you think Beria means paying him a pruta, and Ru'ua means paying him less than a pruta, is that what it means? Mi Ika Lamanta Amar Me Akum Pachos Pruta Lo. No, that wouldn't be called Ru'ua, because we know when it comes to the non-Jewish world, the Gemara talks about this in various places, there's no shear of a pruta. Pruta is only a shear for Jews. But non-Jews are makpid even on less than a pruta. Every tiny little cent, they're machshiv as money. So therefore, that wouldn't be called Ru'ua. Where do we see that? V'hashalach Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yaakov Bar Giyori Mishveder Rabbi Yochanan Haviyodin Shesocher Mina Akum Afilu Popachas Bishav Pruta. Even less than a pruta, you'd be able to be socher. V'yam Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan Ben Noach Ne'arak Alpachas Bishav Pruta. All that means is that the Isurim of Gezel, which are one of the Shavah Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, that applies even less than a pruta. Because what is money for a non-Jew? For a Jew, money is pruta. For a non-Jew, it's even pachad b'shavah pruta. And the halachas of B'nei Noach don't need hasra for the Shavah Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. So, you see, below nitan lishavon, even though it's not nitan lishavon, what are you going to return? A half a pruta? But still, you see, in the non-Jewish world, even half prutas are significant. So you can't say that schiras ru'ua means less than a pruta. So, Ella, Bria, it must be as follows. Your rights. Bria, strong, formal, bimuarki va'aburgani. It means if you have the rights to bring chairs and benches into the chatzer, re'ua below muarki va'aburgani. That's where you don't have the rights to do that. Where you can't set up all of your lawn furniture into the yard. So now the Gemara again repeats its question. So ha'anicha, so I understand why the non-Jew would be worried. L'manda amar schiras bria be'inan. If you hold schiras bria, we could basically take over the yard. But schiras ru'ua, what's the worry? So answers the Gemara, filu hachi, still there's a worry. Chashash akum l'kshafim v'lo moger. He's worried about, you know, magic, voodoo. What's this Jew up to? What's this Jew up to every Shabbos? Every Shabbos he wants to give me some money. He wants to be alone in that yard. What is going on there? And he can be worried. That's what Rabbeinu Yehonasan says. Right here, Rabbeinu Yehonasan says in the beginning of our perek, V'yomar belibo, the Gnadju will say in his heart, Ani rotze latet lo chelkisha b'chatzer matana. I want to give him it as a matana. I don't want to take money from him. Here, take it as a gift. But he doesn't want to accept that. He wants the money. V'yom kolze eino rotze latatel bo, acha asker lo b'bachadish v'pruta. I don't know what this Jew's doing, but I've had enough. I don't know what he keeps doing every week. So he's worried, and in that way, hopefully the Jew will move away. Good. Two important discussions on this, maybe three important discussions on this Gemara. Number one, the Rishash says, Pachos Mishav Pruta is going to work, right? For Schiris Makom. Said the Rishash, Mitzad the Jew is the Kona, he's giving the money. Mitzad the Jew, it's worthless. It's Pachad the Sharaputa. Mitzad the Goy, it's worth something. Ah, says the Rishash, you know what you see from here? Whenever you have a transaction, the Iker is the Makne, not the Kona. As long as it's worth, it's valuable for the Makne, even though not the Kona, so that would be good enough. And near it, the Rishash generalizes this. To who adin bishar kinayos di Yisrael, me akum, bekesef, dai, bepachas mishara pruta. And this will be poshet the suffix of the Mishnah Lamelech. What suffix of the Mishnah Lamelech? In Hilchas Ishus. Hilchas Ishus, we know that the chasen has to give the kala, something that's worth the pruta. What happened if it's only worth the pruta for one of them and not for the other one? Like what? What if the kala is a chole sheyesh bo sakana? So she's allowed to eat certain items that are asur bahana'a. So the chasen is going to give the kala arla as a wedding, as the kiddushin. So mitzad the chasen is worthless. Mitzad the kala is worth something. So what do you say? Is that a good marriage or not? That's the question of the Mishnah Lamelech. So says the Rishash, our Gemara is a raya. You go by the makne and not the kone. So it would be good enough here because the ish is the makne in the marriage and the woman's the kone and the man's the kone. Or a similar discussion, says the ksos in the Avnei Miluim, in his Sefer on Evan Ezer. He says, what happens? The suffix of the Radvaz. A man throws his wife an item and it's not worth a pruta when it leaves the hand of the husband. All of a sudden, as it's in the air, prices skyrocket. And by the time it gets to the kala, it's worth. It's at that moment in time, you know, the value of potatoes skyrocketed. He gave away the potatoes. When the wife gets it, it's worth a pruta. So is that good enough? The chasen didn't give something that was worth a pruta, but the wife got something that was worth a pruta. Says the Avnei Miluim, it's a mefurish gemara in Erevin. And he quotes our gemara. He says, look, the Jew can buy his rights in the chatzer, just by giving pachad mishav pruta. That's a raya, that's the Rishash, that's the Mishnah Lamelech, and that's the Avnei Miluim. Say many other achronim, sorry, I don't think you could generalize our Gemara. Why? Because our Gemara is not a regular Kenyan. Our Gemara is more of a symbolic Kenyan. And they point out the language of the Rambam. Beautiful. The Rambam says, in Perek Beis, here in Hilchas Erevin, he says, look at it's like before us that the Rambam wouldn't agree to this, that you can't generalize it. Sochrin minagoy afilu b'shabes, shaschirus kibitul reshusi, she'ena schirus vada'is, ela heker bilvad. It's not a real hiring out, but it's a heker. Lefichach, sochrin minagoy afilu b'pachat b'shever pruta. The ishta shall go maskeres shall me die to the chulot. That's why you have these kulas. So this isn't a general rule that you could say that, oh, it's something that Yeah, as long as it's worth something to one person in the transaction and not the other one, it's okay. No, you can't generalize it. This is a special. You don't need so much here. It's a low-level type of kinyan, and that is why you're able to get away with something that's not worth anything for the koneh, but is worth something for the makneh. Good, but that's a very important machlokes lamaisa. Okay, one more. Can't do this. Rabbi Yosef Engel, in the Beis HaOtzar, again, if you have one at home, if you get to one, please look this up, page 69. It's Mareches Aleph, Sim Klal Yud Dalet. He quotes a Gra. Where the Gra talks about, again, I'll read you some of it, I can't say it's fully, the Gra says that in Nistar terms, a man is always considered the active party, and the woman is always considered the passive party. Again, it doesn't mean in life, women could go do a lot of things. But because when the husband and the wife are together, one is more active and one is more passive. So in Kabbalistic terms, the man is called the Zuchra, or anything that is active is called the Mashpia is called Zuchra. And the passive, the one who is Mushpa, who is influenced, is called Nukva. Says the Gra, every man has two Nukvas, his wife and his Makom, Habayishu Makom. Because he affects the place, he's mashpia on his home, on his place, on his dira. He says the woman is also a little zuchra as compared to the makom. But the man really, he said, this is the language of the Gra, inyan kvias makom, hi yesh lo adam beis nashim, ha'isha v'habayis. Ki al karchach nikres, and that's why man is called Adam, and the feminine is Adama. Because that's the nukva, the man is also mashpia on where he is. Al Mishka, like Chacham and Chachama, Adam and Adama. Ki hu dechar da Adama. Ki yesh el ha-Adama yichus l'umata Adam, ki yichus ha-Nekeva el ha-Zachar. V'chol ha-Mashpia u-Makabel yikonu b'Zachar v'Nekeva, kenoda. Like the Gemara in Sukkah talks about a kli, that one goes into another one. One is called the Zuchra, one is called the Nukva. Says, that's the Gra, explaining what kvias mako means by davening. That you're mashpia on this place, you have a connection, you're married to this place. And that's the importance about a makom kavua. That's the Gra in Maseches Brachas. But Rabbi Yosef Engel now comes in and says, I'll quote you 25 other sources that also fit into this thought of the Gra. The Gemara in Yevamah says, Kol mi she'ein lo isha, eino adam. Kol mi she'ein lo karka, eino adam. One right after another. Says the Rabbi Yosef Engel, because those two are connected. Those are two parts of what makes an Adam an Adam. An Isha makes an Adam an Adam, and Adama, if he has a Makom, if he has a place where he can be Mashpia on. And the Gemara in Sota, right, we all know this, 40 days before the Vlad is created, what does the Bas Kol say? I always was bothered by this. Bas Ploni Laploni, and Sade Ploni Laploni. Who cares about your field? Who cares about what field you're going to have? Okay, your wife, but Sade Ploni Laploni? The answer is yeah, because there's a connection also in a zuchra v'nukva way. And he says that's also why the Gemara says that tiltul, moving for a man is harder than for a woman. Tiltule gavra kasha midi'itza, says the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Because the man has that zuchra connection to the Adama, the Adam and the Adama. Okay, but he quotes many others, but what's the one that's important for us? He says, Erevin samach beis, diras akum lo shma dira. Why? Because an Akum doesn't have this connection to his Adama. Because the Gemara says elsewhere, Atem Kriyim Adam, Ve'en Ha'akim Kriyim Adam, in a totally different context, in a context of Tumas Meis, that an Akum might not be Metame Meis, because they're not called Adam. They're not called Adam, so Adam is Adama, only a Jew has this connection. That's why Dira's Akum is Lo Shma Dira. He doesn't have this connection to his land. Hey, Mesyachzimu Meschabrim El Amakum Abayis Bechinas Chibur, you know, one might say this also connects to Am Yisrael. We're Zuchras to Eretz Yisrael, who are Nukvas, who is, we're Mashpia, we have this connection to this land. No other Uma in the entire world is connected to their land as the Jew is connected to Eretz Yisrael. That's on a national level, what he is saying on a personal level. So again, this is the Beis HaOtzar, Rabbi Yosef Engel, page 69 in his volume. Okay, just to come for that today. Okay, back to Erevin. Gufa, 5 lines from the bottom. Chatzero shel ovi kochavim haru kadir shel behema. We had that line before. Umutu lahaknezu lahotzi. Right, a chatzer of an akum is like a deer of a behema, meaning you don't have to worry about is his dira. Umutu lahaknezu lahotzi min a chatzer labatim, umin abatim lachatzer. The, as Rashi explains here, or if you have 6 akum living in the, in the houses going into that chatzer, they're not considered chalukim. Right, the reshuses are not kolechad ve'echad levado. And therefore, you'll have to be machnas amosi from the yard into the houses and from the houses into the yard. And that is what the fuller version of the Brisa, before we only quoted one line of it, but this is at least in the fuller version. Vim yesham Yisrael echad oser. But if there's another Jew in there with you, that us. If there's one Jew in there, asers. Dib Rebbe Meir. If there is, I mean, go backtrack. The first line of the price is where there's only non-Jews living in a yard. If there's only non-Jews and you go and happen to go into that yard for something, you're allowed to go from their houses to the yard of a chulu. But if there's a Jew living there, obviously answers. Dib Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Lozer ben Yaakov Omer, Lolameno Oser, Ash Yushne Yisrael, Moser, and Zelzeh. As we said before, you need 2. Period. Omar Mar. So what is that referring to? We just said exactly what the Mishnah said. The only chiddush of this last line was that if it's all non-Jews in the yard, then there's no problem if a Jew goes there for some reason and visits. Omar Mar, Chatzero Shal Akim, Hariyu Kadir Shal Behema. What does that mean? For Anantzan, Hadorma Akim Bechatzer, Hariza Oser Olav. How could you make such a statement across the board? Dearest Akim is nothing. We know it is something. Lokasha, Hadi'isa, Hadalesa. It depends if he's there. If the non-Jew is living there, then you have to be worried. That's Diras Akum. Shma Dira. What does that mean? Not that he has a connection, but that we're worried. Shema Yilmod. Me myself. Hadalas, if he's not there, then he's not Nechshav Adira. If a Jew is not there, his Dira still answers. But a non-Jew only if he's there. So Gemara says, Amai Kasavar, I don't understand. E Kasavar Dira below Bailam Shma Dira. If a residence without people there is Shma Dira, Afilu Akum Nami Nitzar. Even an Akam should answer. V'ik, Savar Dira below Bailam, Lo Shma Dira, I feel Yisro Nami, Lo Nitzar. Even a Jew shouldn't. So the Gemara answers, no. Lo Olam, Savar Dira below Bailam, Lo Shma Dira. Really, if there's no resident, if the people aren't there, it shouldn't answer. But, the Yisrael, Dechi Isa Asur, but Yisrael, who may Iker Adin answers when he's there, Ki Leisei Gazer Be'Rabanan. So when he's not there, we extended an answer. Akum, Dechi Isa, even when an Akum is there, it's only based on a Gzera. Gzera Shem Yomu Mimaisav. So Ki Isa Asur, Ki Leisei Lo Asur. Because the non-Jews answering is much less, it's only because of a Gzera, so it's similar to a Gzera, Gzera, and that's why we will not allow it. By a Jews, what do you mean, it's also Durabanan, but it's a Takana. It's not as much of a Gzera. And therefore, a Gzera and a Takana might be able to go together, but not 2 Gzeras and Gzeras. Viter. Says the Gemara, V'chilese lo asa, 1 second. When a non-Jew is not there, he doesn't asur, but tanan. We learned in the Mishnah later on. It was also quoted earlier. Haminiach es beis of halach lo lishbos be'ir acheres. If somebody leaves his house and goes to a different city, echa nachri v'echad Yisrael oser, Div Rebbe Meir. Meir says, even if they're not there, they asur. So Gemara says, no. Hasan dasi biyome. That's where they went to a different city, but it's very close by. So there's a worry. The non-Jew might come on Shabbos. And Rashi explains, and right when he comes back, you might say, oh, I carry the first day of, of Shabbos, I can carry now too. So therefore, that's the case that Usher, if he's still within the town. Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Halacha, Kerbeleza ben Yaakov. The Halacha, Kerbeleza ben Yaakov, meaning only 2. Rav Huna Amar, Mina, Kerbeleza ben Yaakov. Not Halacha that you would say publicly in the Drasha, but the Mina, if somebody asks you privately, you'll say, yeah, Kerbeleza ben Yaakov is correct. Rav Yochanan Amar, Nagu Ha'am, Kerbeleza ben Yaakov. No. No, really, they would never tell you to do it. But if you did it already, you know, b'di'evit, it's okay. Omele Rabbi Elu Rav Yosef, Kaimalon, Mishnas, Rav Ozim and Yaakov, Kavinaki. Rav Ozim and Yaakov, Sakim, are clean and straight. There's not so many of them, but we always paskin like them. The Rush says, Kav is Gematria 102. There are 102 places where we paskin like Rav Ozim and Yaakov. This is not a hard and fast rule. Most of the time, the Rosh, but later on in Daf Peches, says there are sometimes we don't pass him like a Bozer ben Yaakov. But in general, we say he's got it, he's on the mark, and we pass him like him. The Amar of Yudar, Amar Shmuel, Halacha Bozer ben Yaakov. Ma'olo Oruye b'makam Rabo. This question is the introduction to the next blot and a half of Gemara. If the Halacha like a Bozer ben Yaakov, are you allowed to pass him like him even if your Rebbe is there? Meaning even if it's a Dover Pashut, there's an Isser of Paskening B'makom Rabcha. So does that Isser apply about something so simple as Rav Elazar ben Yaakov? So Amar Leh, he says, yeah, Chizda. Boy, my name is Rav Chizda. Kol Shani Rav Huna. I always ask Rav Chizda because I wanted to see if he would answer, even though Rav Huna was there. I asked him even about, are you allowed to eat an egg and milk? Which is a simple question. Of course it's mutter. Velo ori, and he wouldn't paskin, meaning even something simple. You're not allowed to paskin b'makom of your rav. Period. Right? So that the big discussion in Tosfos, does that really mean an egg and milk? Is it so obvious? Or Tosfos says maybe it means an egg that was totally formed when you shechted a chicken. And when you shechted a chicken, the egg was still inside. So that's also considered an egg. So it's not so pashut. But that's the issue here. Amalei, just one more line. Amalei Rav Yaakov bar Abba Labaya. Kigon Megillas Tainis. Tiksivu mancha molo ruye ba'asri de rabbe. Am I not a paskin from Megillas Tainis? Which Rashi says is the only thing that was written down when this story took place. Another riot to that Maritz Chayis. That the rest of the Mishnah wasn't written down. Why didn't they just say Mishnah? They just said Megillas Tainis. And again, Amalei, Hachi Amar Rav Yosef. Afilu b'yas of a kutcha boi min emar Rav Chista. Kol shani de Rav Huna. V'lo ori. I asked him all these questions, meaning it's even if something is a davar pashut, still you're not allowed to paskin. Okay, we'll have to stop here. But over the next couple of daf and a half or so, this is the sugya. Mor halacha b'fnei rabo. We'll try to have a daf pi'in shir about this. But the issues in Mor halacha b'fnei rabo are, there are different approaches what the root isser is. Is it just an issue of kavod rabo? Or is there something deeper here, relating to the covet of the Mesorah itself? If there's something, if somebody is closer to the source, maybe you have to have a chiyuv to go there. And if you overstep your bounds, even if it's a davar pashut, you know, still it might be inappropriate. Okay, we'll have to stop here. Again, tomorrow there's no shir. I'm not going to be able to be here, but Be'ez Hashem, on Sunday we will Be'ez Hashem, continue with the sixth parak here in Meseches Erevin. But again, Be'ez Hashem, the dafim will be up, daf samach gimel and samach dalet.